The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Oh, there's a block shot by Dwight. Fast break by Harden all the way to the bucket. Started one end with defense, ended with offense at the other. About the MVP, of course, Steph Curry's your MVP, but
Westbrook.
You got to put Westbrook right in there.
As he was in the conversation.
Oh, Harden with another three.
A lot of people wrote us off. Thought we weren't going to make the playoffs, and you know, here we are. So, you know, like I said, we're going to take one game at a time. We're facing these guys, and we're facing the Western Conference Finals. So, obviously, they're playing well. You know, we are too. So, we focus on game one. We watch film, figure out how to attack them, and go from there.
Steph, cross court to Draymond Green. Ball above the head, over to Bogut, top of the arc. Chest pass right side. Curry a three. Got it. Steph Curry has hit his eighth three of the night and now has 400 for the year.
And listen to the crowd. The Golden State Warriors say they use strength in numbers, and tonight the number is 73 as the Golden State Warriors have beaten the Memphis Grizzlies 125-104 and set an NBA record for 73 wins in a campaign.
This weekend, once we get the playoffs started, and you know, we need 16 wins. It's nice to be able to focus on that goal specifically now.
For the final time, number 24 on the floor, 6-6. Five-time world champion, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe dribbling left, around a pick from Randall. Pulls up, two-pointer, good! 58 for Bryant. The Lakers lead by one.
I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And, you know, to be standing here at center court with you guys, my teammates behind me, and appreciating all this, you know, the journey that we've been on. You know, we've been through our ups and been through our downs. And I think the most important part is that we all stay together throughout. What can I say? Mamba out.
The Rockets are in the playoffs. The Rockets are in the playoffs. And the Warriors await. Oh, and big doings in the NFL. And oh, yeah, that Kobe dude. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jongle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it's a Thursday. Weekend's almost here. Let's have some fun. And I don't even know where to start with all the stuff that was happening today and last night. Where would you like to start, Mr. Hoffman?
You tell me, man. I spent a good chunk of the day arguing with Rocket fan who is delusional and thinks that James Harden is anywhere in the conversation with Steph Curry. Still, it's fascinating to me.
That is an argument you could have easily made 2 years ago. And even last year, I think Curry was better. You could have at least made the argument, right? You can't this year. It's not even close.
It's not a discussion. And there's people who are posting the stats where they have close to the same amount of points, same amount of assists, all that stuff, rebounds. In fact, Harden's a little ahead in rebounds. They don't put in turnovers, field goal percentage.
Which, by the way,
a guy who takes... Let's think about this. No one's ever made 300 three-pointers in a season. Until now. Steph Curry made 400 this year. 400 three-pointers this season. Just think about that for a second. No one before this year had ever made 300 in a season. He just made 400. And then think about this. A man who shot 886 threes this year still finished the season as over a 50% shooter from the field. You know how crazy that is?
No,
I mean, 50%, that's like what big men shoot. That's what guys who play around the rim shoot. This guy took 886 threes. And, of course, he hit 45% of them, which is just unbelievable to
me. And he actually, they were putting out things earlier today. He shot a higher percentage the farther back he got.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just crazy.
Guy's a freak, man.
But I don't know how anyone who watched James Harden all year could even make that argument other than you're just wearing your Rockets underwear.
That's what I think a lot of it is.
And you're trying to come up with some reason why this team might win more than one game in the series. That's pretty much it. You're trying to have hope, and that's fine. Have hope. But realistically, if you watch James Harden this year and James Harden last year, not the same player.
No.
Yeah, he's put up a lot of nice offensive numbers. He's also turned the ball over at a record rate.
Yeah, more than anyone in the history of the NBA. It's, I don't know. I don't see where the discussion is. And people are upset that James Harden isn't going to be, or looks like he's not going to be on an all-NBA team because all the people who are releasing their votes don't have him on their all-NBA teams. And that's upsetting to a lot of people. But when you think about the guys that are being put on these teams, and there's six spots for guards.
Right.
On the all-NBA team, on first, second, and third team. Curry's taking one for sure, obviously. Russell Westbrook is taking one for sure. Chris Paul's taking one for sure. This year, Kyle Lowry's taking one for sure. James Harden's in that group with John Wall, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard. There's a handful of guys there. You could even throw in Jimmy Butler. Isaiah Thomas had a big year. It's not crazy to think that this isn't a year for him. Is he one of the best scorers in the league? Yep, not even a question. Not even debatable. He'll put up points every night, partly because he'll shoot more than anyone else. He'll put up points every night, though. He'll get to the line every night. He'll make free throws. Does that get you all NBA? I don't know. It's not like you could start a riot if he didn't.
You can make an argument for him as five or six, just like you can make an argument for him as eight or nine. And I'm happy the Rockets got in the playoffs. It gives us something at least to watch for the next four games. But and John, can we get that clip of what he said about how well the Warriors are playing, and then what he said right after that you played at the top? Because there's something there that I kind of want to delve into a little bit. Just about, oh, they're playing well, and then he followed it up with something else. Obviously, this is not an ideal matchup for you in the first round. There's no question.
Of course not.
But they're not an ideal matchup for anybody except maybe the Spurs, and you know that's what we're all going to be looking forward to. But hey, they got in. Good for them. But let's not all. Yeah, let's play that now. I want to follow up on this for a second.
A lot of people wrote us off. Thought we weren't going to make the playoffs, and here we are. So. You know, like I said, we're going to take one game at a time. We're facing these guys, and we're facing the Western Conference Finals. So, obviously, they're playing well. You know, we are too. So,
all right, stop right there. Obviously, they're playing well. We are too. Really?
Well,
you really? I mean, yeah, you did last night against a team that's
against a bad team. B, a bad team without their best players. And really without a bench. I mean, that was a seven-man rotation last night of like their seven scrubs.
Finished 41-41. That's not playing well, James. That's playing mediocre basketball. And the only chance that the Rockets have to win more than one game, which is all I'm giving them a chance to win, and I think even that's a bit of a long shot, is last year's James Harden defense has to show up.
Yeah.
This year, and that's a big difference in the turnovers, which are really bad, and the fact that he's played defense at a ridiculously low level. And the frustrating thing is, you know, he's better than that because he can be better than that. And he was last year. And you could look at all the numbers last year, where he was in steals, where he was in any of the metrics that they put together for defense. The guy was not just an above average defensive player. When it came to steals, he was one of the best in the league. And in some of the other areas,
I think a big problem is that one of the, besides turnovers, the other statistical category that he led the league in this season was minutes played.
Yeah.
And when you play that many minutes, I think there's bound to be some kind of a drop off on defensive production, especially if James Harden has to choose between diminishing returns on offense or defense.
Right.
It's going to be defense. And really, he played the most minutes by quite a sight, by 230-something minutes over the next closest guy. So that's a lot of strain to put on a dude like that.
936, of course. What would you like James Harden to say? We're playing like crap?
Yeah, well,
no. What I'd like for him to say is we're really going to have to up our games and be a much better team than we were in the regular season. And he's never going to say that.
We're playing well, but we're going up against a team that we have to play better than well to beat. We have to be on our A game.
409 says, I think he meant they've been playing well over their last three or four games. You counting that Phoenix game in there?
Yeah.
At that point it looked like they were not even making the playoffs. So he's right about that. Nobody gave you a chance of making the playoffs after the Phoenix game. For the season, you guys were supposed to be a top four seed. 210 says, if a San Antonio Spurs isn't making all NBA, James Harden has no right making the team. But that's a bad comparison because the Spurs are a complete team with a lot of complete players who, you know, this is an individual award. And I don't know if there's a Spurs guard that belongs. I mean, is there?
A Spurs guard?
Yeah.
That belongs on an all-NBA team?
Yeah.
No.
No. I mean, sorry.
I don't think so. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is unquestionably first team all-NBA.
Agreed.
And I think you could make a good argument for LaMarcus Aldridge, although I don't know if he'll end up making it just because it's tough to be an all-NBA guy. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is deserving. Do I think it's a lock that he would be? No.
All right. A lot more to get to. We'll also be happy to take your phone calls, especially if you want to make a case that James Harden's as good as Steph Curry. I'd really like to hear
that. I don't
want
to hear it anymore. I'm done.
I'd like to hear it.
You haven't heard it all day.
Albert says, anything Harden said wouldn't have been good enough for y'all. No, that's not true. I just told you exactly what he could have said. Hey, man, it's cool. Root for your Rockets. Be happy they're in. But don't expect us to sit here and BS you about what stuff like that. That's just ridiculous. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by acceptanceappliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And we've got a lot of stuff to give. 281 says, excited for the show. Great topics. Love the intro. Give me a shout out, loyal listener Kenny. You get the one shout out. Congratulations, Kenny. I don't know how to put this without just making people sound stupid. I really don't want to do that. If you're the Rockets fan, can get so delusional. It's great that you're a fan. It's great that you go to all the games or you watch all the games and you know all the players and you love James Harden. That's great. That's awesome. That's what a fan's supposed to do. But to just come up with this stuff. Oh, he's as good as Steph Curry. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. Just, you know what, the questions you should be asking, say, all right, they snuck into the playoffs. What can they do to be competitive? What has to happen for this team to be competitive? What do they have to do that they haven't done all year? And those questions are easy. James Harden has to play defense, not turn the ball over. Dwight Howard needs to be involved. Somebody else has to contribute. And whether it's Trevor Ariza or somebody else is going to have to play really good basketball for them to be competitive in the series. And that has happened about 20% of the time this year where they've gotten performances like that. And that's why they're 41-41. So they have to do it more consistently. So do you want to argue that Harden's kind of holding back for the playoffs and he's going to play defense in the playoffs? Okay. I could buy that. We'll see. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you're suddenly going to close a gap on a team that's better than it was last year when you were better last year than you are now. But ask the right questions, not the... Well, don't just be delusional.
Well, I'll go ahead and take it to the next level. I don't think there's anything they can do. I think if they play their best for seven games, they can't beat the Warriors in this series. I think if I'm Rockets fan, I'm looking ahead to what can make this team better in the offseason.
Well, I'm enjoying the four games they're going to play. I mean, it's you know, I'm a big believer in there's no reason to start looking ahead until you're out. They're not out yet. They got four games left, maybe five. Enjoy those five games. Enjoy the entertainment factor of them. And, you know, and you'll see when they play this team what the flaws are and what needs to be fixed. And that's what you should use it for. All right, let's try some phone calls. I know there's a lot to get to. We got to get to the rapist. We got to get to the Rams making a deal. There's all kinds of stuff happening today for a Thursday, which really not much happening. There's a lot going on. Sean, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, sports?
Sports, yeah. Hey, you know, y'all are exactly right, man, about James Harden and the comparison with Steph Curry. It's not even close. Let me just give y'all a little a scenario. Last year, the Golden State Warriors won the championship. The Rockets got knocked out by the Warriors. Okay? James Harden did not finish second in the MVP race. Steph Curry won it. What happened? James Harden pouted, came back to camp. He was a little overweight. Steph Curry went, got motivated, and got better after winning the championship, after winning the MVP. You know? So I don't even want to hear that about, you know, James Harden, to me, he's a scorer. Don't get me wrong. He's a great scorer, volume shooter. But he doesn't have, you know, that part of the game where he makes people better around him. You know, can you imagine him having Dwight Howard? And, you know, Howard's a little slower than he was. But, I mean, he's, you know, they're supposed to be a lot better than 41-41.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
I don't think what Les Alexander said today helped the cause any.
No.
I mean, Les Alexander, bless his heart, wants to support his guys, but saying that he thinks James Harden's the MVP of the league.
That's
because
just dumb.
He got this team to 41-41.
Yeah, I love
so
Les.
So had they lost last night, or should he not be the MVP? But because of the miracle that he pulled against the Kings, he is the MVP. I don't know how that could possibly work.
I like Les, and you know, owners love to talk up their guys, but that's just a stupid comment. I know y'all don't like to be called homers, but stop trying to rain on our parade. You're having a parade after a 41-41 season?
Yeah, if you're having a parade, you're an idiot.
Oh, my God. Good luck with that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Josiah. Is that what that is?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, you know, I think one of the main issues that I have with the Rockets, even as a Rockets fan, is to me, it seems like there's no level of accountability.
Well, what do you mean? What do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Well, I guess what I mean is, you know, when we're, I think it was 11 games into the season or maybe a little bit more, I get a notification that we fire Kevin McHale and we get J.B. Bickerstaff, and we keep that guy the whole season, and he seems to me like more of he's a friend of the players. There's no authority there. With Kevin McHale, you know, he's going to be your buddy and your pal, just like Greg Popovich. But when you get a Kevin McHale or a Greg Popovich or a Phil Jackson, there's going to be a level of accountability. He's not going to let you mope around. He's not going to let you slack off no matter what your minutes per game is.
Okay. Well, I if you're talking about the coaches, I think they made a mistake when they fired Kevin McHale to begin with, or they should have done it 2 years ago. I'd never thought Kevin McHale was the answer, but I didn't think that Kevin McHale was particularly the problem either. But with having no backup plan in place, I think they kind of made a mistake there.
Well, unless Bickerstaff was their backup plan, and that's that was a bad backup plan. 713-780-ESPN. I wonder how people construe things. As Gabriel says, you're giving Houston two wins against a team that lost nine all year. When did I say they were going to win two games in this series?
Fred says they're going to win one.
I said I think one at most is what I said, okay. Right?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win one.
Yeah, I think they'll get one, and they'll play two games close, and Rockets fan will keep telling us how stupid we are. So, anyway, let's try David. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, sports?
Sports to you.
You know, I just kind of have to agree with you guys. I mean, I'm a Rockets fan myself, but what happened to the days where fans would hold their team accountable? It seems like nowadays we're just trying to give them more and more excuses as to, you know, why they don't suck or why they are going to win. There's no chance of them winning. You're telling me our team is going to beat a team that just broke a record that wasn't even expected to be broken? We're going to do that in four games?
Well, that's what
seven games or whatever.
That's kind of where my confusion falls, because I don't believe in just pretending because you're a fan of a team, pretending that they're good when they're not. The reality is this Rockets team is not good. They were a 500 team, which, by the way, in the NBA, by any metric, that's not good. So instead of pretending that some magic trick is going to happen and the Rockets are going to win the series, I'm more concerned with what this team needs to do going forward to get better, to get good enough to contend. Because pretending like, and I've been saying this for a while, pretending like a team that has James Harden as its best player, pretending like that team is going to win an NBA championship, just need to stop. You need to stop with that and start thinking about how to make it where the Rockets can win a championship.
And demand your owner does that instead of, oh boy, 500, right. Here we go. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the games. You should enjoy the games. But you're going to be the same guy saying they got robbed by the refs when they lose by 30. Then you're just delusional. Which I it's so funny because I thought this would happen if the Rockets won like their last five games and delusional Rocket fan would come out of the woodwork with stuff like this. But are we forgetting just what happened a week ago in their own building against one of the worst teams in the league?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me they're playing well? Come on, man. 713-780-ESPN. Nick says Rockets will get spanked, but gives us something to do Saturday afternoon, a reason to drink. Absolutely. Drink beer, watch the games, go to the bar, have fun. Cheer for them. Root hard for that one victory. Maybe it happens. But also pay attention to where the gaps are in this team and what they need to do at this next level, because you're playing the best team in the league. And they are better than you, and they're going to do things to you that other teams can't. But you'll also see what it's going to take for the Rockets to get to that level. That's how I would approach it. And somebody sent me a text saying, weren't the Rockets 40-42 when they upset the Lakers and with Moses Malone and got to the finals? They were. But you know what? For one thing, all those guys are dead now. Number two, nice historical point there. You know what? How many games they had in that series? That was the three-game miniseries.
Yeah.
They beat the Lakers 2-1. If you played a three-game series here, I still don't think you win, but I would at least give you hope that if Steph Curry comes out and plays like crap for three games, you might win.
Troy says what I say. Not only are they not good this year, they're an unlikable team, which is what I've felt all along. Even last year when they were a good team, I found them unlikable. I'm just not going to make up magic reasons why they could have some fairy tale why they could win, because I
don't see it. I don't see it at all. And let's not forget, guess what? They're going to get out-coached. Who in the playoffs would you say J.B. Bickerstaff matches up with as an X's and O's guy?
Stop.
Any team in the West. Go ahead. Throw it out there.
I'm not.
Okay. I'm just trying to give people hope here. All right. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. to all the killers and the $100 billers.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN 713-780-3776. I guess it's too much to ask for discerning fans.
Fans, that's what fans are.
No, not all of them are. Not all of them are. And most, well, I guess maybe it's just the people I talk to. Most of them are reasonable. And, you know, they realize, hey, they want their team to win, but here's where the problems are. This is going to be difficult. And this is what has to happen for them to have any chance. That's what a reasonable fan does. Harden's this good guy, or it all starts from scratch. It's a brand new season, guy. Yeah, that's just pure hope. That's all it is, and that's fine. It's fine to have hope. It's good to have hope.
Yeah,
but be reasonable. Be reasonable. That's all. Have reasonable expectations for your team, and then demand more from your ownership. Okay. Let's try Corey.
Guys, sports.
Sports to you.
Well, I think the reason that we all love sports so much is because there's always a chance. I mean, no matter how small, that your team might win. But I'm with you guys. I think the Warriors are going to drop three on the Rockets, go up 3-0, and then, you know, they'll rest their starters, give some of the second backup guys a chance, and the Rockets will win a game. And then the Warriors will close them out in game five and then move on. I mean, we haven't really had a great season this year, finishing up 500. And all these diehard fans always saying, you know, playoffs are a brand new year. And, yeah, it is. But let's face it, there's not really much of a shot that we're going to win.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think that in game four the Warriors rest guys, because, remember, in the NBA you get rest by finishing your series early. So finishing up in four will get you way more rest than playing a fifth game. I don't see that. That strategy isn't legitimate. So, I think the Warriors go all out like they have all year, and they try to win every game. And I just think they're that much better.
And if the Rockets are going to win a game, it's because they have had games this year where they played really well against good teams. It hasn't happened often enough, not nearly as often as it happened last year. And for that to happen in one game is not a stretch. And if the Warriors play a little bit below their best, which they're capable of. But is it the last three seasons the Rockets have one regular season win against the Warriors?
Yeah.
And one playoff win against the Warriors. So, that Rockets team was better last year. It was a better team that was playing better basketball than this one. Wasn't even close. They were the number two seed. This is closer to what they were before Howard got here, when they were trying to sneak into the eighth seed every year. All right, let's try DeAndre.
For you guys.
Hey, sports now.
Sports for you guys.
And to you, let's go.
Now it's your turn to talk.
I just want to say that I'm a Lakers fan, first off. But secondly, let's say by some miracle the Rockets actually beat the Warriors in the series or go to the second round. Do you think this team is worth salvaging, or should they just cut their losses with this team?
So if they beat the Warriors, so if a miracle happens and they beat the Warriors four games out of seven, and they go to the next round and, what, lose to the Clippers, is everything fixed?
No.
That's what I'm trying to say about being delusional with what reality is. Let's just say, for instance, the Warriors play the worst series of their lives. They are a total mess, and the Rockets win, and then the Rockets lose to the Clippers. You were still a 500 team. That didn't change. You were still the eighth best team in the Western Conference, and barely. There's still big holes in this team.
Yeah, and I almost feel silly saying this. If the Rockets are going to get by these guys, it's going to be because Curry's playing hurt and not playing well. Thompson's playing hurt.
Yeah.
If they run into each other and both of them get injured, doesn't mean they're not in the game. It just means they're hurt and not playing well. And then on top of that, the rest of the team's not playing well. That's I mean, and it's such a bizarre, ridiculous scenario. I mean, it can happen, I suppose. You know, Patrick Beverly could go out there and, you know, take out both of them's knees. He's done it before, I guess. But realistically, the problem is watching this team, especially over the last month, I kept looking for what's going to be different for this team in the playoffs. What's going to be different for the Rockets in the playoffs than what we're seeing in the regular season? And last year, when they made those moves and they brought in Brewer and they brought in Smith, and those guys made a huge difference, and you realized, hey, you know what? These aren't A-list guys, but they're making this team better.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. They didn't do anything like that. Michael Beasley, okay, he's scored some. He's given you another scoring option. But I just don't see any scenario where this team suddenly plays better than it has all season. And if that was going to happen, don't you think it would have happened with those last six games when everything was really on the line for them and they lose to the Jazz and they lose to the Suns and they back in? And if it didn't happen then, why would I expect it to happen now? I would at least listen to that argument if they'd gone 6-0 and pounded those teams by 20 each, but then they wouldn't be playing the Warriors. So, I mean, am I glad they're in? Yes. Am I going to be happy to watch? Oh, yeah. But I just don't see any scenario where you should think they have a realistic chance. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's try, is that Vish? Vish, what's up?
Hey, guys, this is Vish. First time caller, long time listener. Great show, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
So much. What I called in to say was, to me, we're belaboring this point too much. There's three buckets of fans here in Houston. One, who I call are the diehard delusional fans, who are the ones that are really complaining here. Two, really the ones who just found out overnight that they're on the bandwagon now that the Rockets have made it to the playoffs. And three, much like yourselves, are the fans who are happy that they made it, but absolutely know, just like myself, that they have no chance to do any better in the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, it's reality. Just like what the caller said, and they're excited that the team is there. They won't have that team around.
We're losing your phone
bud. Your phone is terrible, but we get your point.
Yeah, yeah. Making good points there, but we just lost you.
I mean, there's
feel free to call
again,
fans. By the way.
Listen, there's different kind of fans across the board. I'm a fan of the NBA. I grew up a Rockets fan. I'm not a fan of this Rockets team.
And some people, if they put on that red uniform, they're going to root for whoever's
right
on there.
And that's not me. I just don't find this team easy to cheer for because I don't think they're ever going to win. And I don't think if I know a team's not going to win, I at least want them to have guys that I like. And I don't like these guys. So I'm not going to pretend like they're something that they're not. It's not my job to justify a 41-41 season.
Yeah.
That's Les Alexander's job. That's Daryl Morey's job, really.
Harrison says, current favorite delusional Rockets fan narrative. They have momentum and the Warriors don't.
Right.
Yeah. The other team just won more games than any team in the history of the NBA.
Right.
So.
Coming off of a championship.
Edgar asks, can we just skip playoffs and go to the semifinals? Warriors versus San Antonio and Cleveland versus Toronto. You know what? Having watched this Raptors team, well, at 5:00, we'll go through all the series. How's that?
We'll make our predictions.
Yes.
All right.
I will believe in the Raptors when they actually win a series. Because this is the same guy that put those Nuggets teams together that had really good regular seasons every year.
Yeah.
And then didn't do anything in the playoffs. And the last 2 years, Toronto's been the higher seed. They've lost both years. Trust me, I have to watch every game because someone in my household becomes the biggest Raptors fan in the world once they make the playoffs. I'm skeptical of this. I mean, don't get me wrong. They've been great, but I'm very skeptical of how they'll do in the playoffs until they show me they can do it. 713-780-ESPN. Roland, I hope you're being sarcastic. You guys got it all wrong. There's nothing to fix. They were sandbagging to get revenge from last year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, because guess what? You could have gotten revenge in the, conference finals. That would have been better because then you get to go to the finals. I'm pretty sure you're goofing off on us there, Roland. Thank you.
I could see Miami beating the Raptors. I could see Miami being in the Eastern Conference
I thought
finals.
They had Indiana.
No, I'm saying I don't think Indiana's going to beat the Raptors, but I could see Miami in the second round beating the Raptors. I don't think there's any lock that the Raptors and the Cavs are going to be in the finals. I do think, man, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. When has a LeBron James team ever flown under the radar this much? Ever?
It's been a while, probably maybe his early Cleveland days.
But even then, he was like the phenom.
Yeah,
like,
he was the phenom, but they...
We're talking about a team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, and no one's even mentioning them as a... And would you agree the Eastern Conference is kind of catching up to the Western Conference as far as... It's not like it was
in depth,
6, 7 years ago.
Certainly in depth, because teams had winning records over there that made the playoffs. Not at the top, I don't think.
Okay.
Because I don't think that the top three teams in the East, I think you have one team that can compete with the top three teams in the West.
But I just think
maybe.
It's funny that Cleveland is sort of sneakily getting through there, and that may be just what they need.
Maybe. But the profile goes up now with the playoffs, and you know damn well that everybody's going to be talking about them again. But we'll get it this way. Let's say the Thunder somehow got through. That's your three seed in the West, right? Would you give the Raptors or Celtics any chance against them?
No.
So that's at the top, I don't think it's...
But I would give I think the Cavs are in that same the same tier as the Spurs, Thunder.
Well, but that's my point, is that you have one team out of the three over there, and you have three teams in the West. But as far as more depth at the bottom, absolutely. I think the Eastern Conference has certainly closed the gap. And you actually had a team with the same record as your Rockets that's firing its coach and finished 10th in the East. So... there's that. The Bulls had a winning record and didn't make the playoffs. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5. Each Friday, John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. And then get your butt in the car and come out and see us at Sam Houston Race Park tomorrow. Finally going to be back at the track. So get out there. We'll be broadcasting live from 4 to 7. Can we talk a little football? Because there was a major, major deal today.
All right.
John, what is going on with this screen? Every time I look up, it goes blue.
Oh, I'm exiting it out because the names kind of disappear. So once you reopen it, names come back up.
So we have to like reopen this thing every now and then to know who's on the phone. This is bizarre.
It's a screwy system.
Okay. Yeah. So your Los Angeles Rams, AJ.
Mine.
Yes.
Okay,
because yeah, you're a front runner.
Yes,
and you know once they get real exciting again, like the greatest show on turf, Rams, you're going to be all over them.
Right
when they become the Warriors of the NFL.
Right,
they have traded up to the number one pick in the draft.
Okay, initial thoughts: smart move, dumb move.
Both.
I took a lot of grief on Twitter for my thoughts on this today.
What were your thoughts? Let's hear yours first, and then I'll give you mine.
My thoughts are: the Rams gave up a ton to move up 14 spots to presumably draft a quarterback in a year where I'm not sure that there's any surefire quarterback to be had. I think you can, I mean, Winston, Goff, they might work, they might not. And obviously they have one of those two guys in mind. It's probably Wentz from everything we're hearing. Does Wentz feel like a sure thing to you?
No, but if in their evaluation process they decide this guy is a sure thing.
Why should the Rams even believe in their evaluation process?
It didn't work with Sam Bradford, that's for sure.
It doesn't work ever.
But, well, you know what? They've drafted pretty well over the last few years.
All right.
They have drafted well. And if you trust your process, this is why I think it's both dumb and smart. Number one, they could have traded the Titans 10 number one picks. The Titans will screw it up anyway. They don't draft worth a damn. But if I'm the Rams and I identify this is the best option for me that's going to be there this year or next year, then I'm okay with a move like that. Now, you might wind up being wrong. And obviously, that's what happened with the Redskins when they made the same move with the Rams. And the Rams got a big haul and got a lot of nice players. Well, they're going the other way this time, but if they think Carson Wentz is the guy, if you think he is going to be a top 10, 12, 13, 15 quarterback in the NFL, it's worth it. If the Texans had not gotten Brock Osweiler and they had made the same deal, I would say I was okay with it. Because you have to take a chance at some point. You cannot just get trapped in this, you know, in the hamster wheel. We're just going to keep bringing in Brian Hoyer. We're going to keep bringing in this guy. I mean, Case Keenum is their starting quarterback. We've seen that movie. We saw it here. We know how it ends. Everybody dies. It's like Hateful Eight. You have to, at some point, make a splash. You have to take a chance. It's a big gamble. It may fail. And if it does, hey, people are going to get fired. But I from that perspective, I like it. I think they gave up too much. But if you're also, if you're right and your team is good next year, suddenly that other first-round pick doesn't look so good.
Right.
So there is that. But I do think it's interesting that they made the move. It's also the price. I mean, that was what the price was going
to
be.
It's the price to move up from 15 to
right.
1. I mean, it's a big jump.
Yeah.
We talked about the 49ers or the Browns moving up, and it wasn't crazy to think that was possible. But from 15 to 1, you're giving up a haul. And to me, I think there's so many question marks about these quarterbacks. And I've said this all along, I'm just not in love with any of the quarterbacks in this draft. And I understand at some point you got to get one. Get that. I know. But why not wait for a year where you don't have to give up 2 years' worth of drafts to get one?
Because that's the trap you fall into. Okay, we'll wait a year. We'll wait another year.
By the way, haven't the Rams done nothing but blab about how much they love Case Keenum and double down on this dude and say this is our guy, we're crazy about him?
Because he's probably going to have to start the season for you even when you make this move. I don't know if you throw that guy out there right away. Put you in a position where he can sit for a couple games, learn what he's doing, you find out where he is, and when he's ready, you go. I don't mind it. 832 says, according to reality check, this trade spells doom for the Texans. Huh? What do the Texans have to do with it?
Oh, are you reality check? Is that the Barry Warner and Dylan Gwynn?
I think so. Is that
Mighty Gwynn? This is doom and gloom for your Texans.
940 says, thanks for spoiling the Hateful Eight. If you haven't watched that by now,
I'm
sorry.
Yeah. That movie came out like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, there is no. There's basically a 3 month. If you liked it enough, and it's been out on pay now, actually, and on Blu-ray. So, sorry.
By the way, Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze in Usual Suspects.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry to ruin that for you.
You know, Kevin Costner is a Russian agent in No Way Out.
What?
Ah, yeah, I bet you didn't know that. But, yeah, I think it's a fair question. Did they give up too much? I mean, it's a haul. I think it all comes down to, if he turns out being the right quarterback, they didn't give up too much. Because those guys you just can't get.
If they're the right quarterback, yeah. I just don't think that there is the right quarterback in this draft.
And honestly, I don't know enough about Carson Wentz. I've seen him play 3 games and, you know, seen a lot of film, but it's just not, it's hard to tell. I mean, with what he's playing against. And if that's their guy, somebody says Schefter says it's Jared Goff. They're going to play this game because the NFL doesn't want them to say who they're drafting because this is their, you know, this is their big production coming up in 2 weeks. They like there to be some mystery to
it. Yeah, that's fine.
If I had to bet, I'd say right now it's Carson
Wentz.
I
think it's Carson Wentz.
I would not move up to 1 to get Jared Goff. I would have had to have been convinced that Carson Wentz is going to be a superstar quarterback. I'm not, but they may be.
They may be. They may have seen that tape against all those guys who aren't on scholarship and said, you know what, this guy's got something magic. All right. Hey, good luck.
And
again, when does this work out? When have we seen this be the right move?
Well,
was it the right move for Bob Griffin?
No, it wasn't. I guess the last time it happened was Eli Manning, but it wasn't the same.
It's not the same thing. Yeah,
it's really been Ricky Williams and Bob Griffin have been the times we've done this.
Were either of them worth it?
No, but at some point, somebody will be.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they will be. I mean, the price is just so ridiculous.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.